Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the Voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for words and their stories and people in America, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember in Washington. The American Space Agency, NASA, launched its first Voyager spacecraft in 1977. Scientists announced last year that Voyager 1 had entered interstellar space. Today on the program, we hear more about the spacecraft and something else that made the trip. But first, we hear about a place right here on planet Earth where you can find images and recordings from all over the world. In fact, it currently has nearly 9,900 items from 80 different countries. Karen Leggett reports.
What is a place where you could find old pictures of camels carrying people to Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and also books about ancient Aztecs in Mexico? It is all found in the World Digital Library. Its collection is available on the Internet. The library has books, ancient writings, music, and photographs. Partners include national or university libraries, museums, and other cultural organizations. The Librarian of the United States Congress, James Billington, launched the WDL in 2009. John Van Oudenaren is the director of the library. He says Mr. Billington wanted it to include items that are both interesting and important.
So we're looking for things from each country and each culture, each civilization, things that are unique, important, and help to tell the story of that place.
Every item is explained in the 6 official languages of the United Nations: English, Arabic, French, Spanish, Chinese, Russian, plus Portuguese. Mr. Van Oudenaren says users include schools, researchers, and anyone interested.
People saying, this is what the internet should be about. And that kind of warms my heart.
He was especially happy to hear from one teacher in New York City.
She said it was really wonderful to have a site where every kid in the class, no matter what country they were from or where their parents were from, could search and find something about that country that was interesting and important.
Musa Marawe is a researcher for the WDL from Sudan. He works with all the materials that are in Arabic. He recently published rare photographs of Mecca from 1885.
These camels were, you know, lying with their heads on the ground, which is very unusual for a camel. It means this camel has traveled for so long. And the humps of those camels were very thin, too, meaning they have exhausted all the fat they have stored there.
Musa Marawa believes the library provides tools for understanding, especially among Arabs, Muslims, and the United States. He says the WDL is posting many items about important developments in Arabic and Islamic science.
The kind of cultural heritage you are promoting is exactly, I believe, what the world needs, which is basically all these cultures contribute together to promote understanding throughout humanity in general.
Anyone may search the World Digital Library by subject, time period, kind of document, or area of the world. The website is www.wdl.org. I'm Karen Leggett.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Steve Ember. Late last year, NASA announced that Voyager 1 had become the first spacecraft to reach interstellar space. That is, the space between stars. Officials are not exactly sure when the spacecraft crossed over, but they said scientific measurements confirmed that it has entered interstellar space. Avi Arditi has more on the story.
The spacecraft carries the voices and sounds of human beings and animals that were living on Earth in 1977 when it was launched. The sounds are on a gold-plated phonograph record secured to the side of the spacecraft. Tim Ferriss mixed the audio that went on the record.
The record is a conventional long-playing phonograph record, except that it's made of copper and it's covered in gold, and then it's put inside a titanium case to protect it.
Tim Ferriss was one of a small group of people who worked to persuade the American Space Agency to attach the record to Voyager's side. Annie Drian, another member of the group, says the original idea came from Frank Drake, an astronomer at the University of California.
And it seemed to Frank that the best way to compress as much information as possible in a very small space was to do it on a phonograph record.
And there is plenty of information on the record. It contains messages in 59 human languages.
Hello from the children of planet Earth.
It has 118 pictures of life on Earth and 27 pieces of music. Tim Ferriss says these demonstrate the diversity of human creation.
So there's music on the record from Europe and the United States. But also from Africa and the South Pacific and South America. Georgia and Russia and, you know, all these places, China, India.
Shortly after American astronauts returned from space in 1968, the space agency released a photograph of the Earth rising from behind the moon. Margaret Weidekamp is with the Smithsonian Institution's National Air and Space Museum. She says that picture deeply touched people like Frank Drake and his partner on the Gold Record Project, the scientist and TV star Carl Sagan. The photo made them think carefully about how they might present all humanity, not just the nation that sent the spacecraft up.
Knowing that that picture was taken by a human being, I think profoundly changed the thoughts of these people and really made them start thinking about, if we are this, you know, pale blue dot in this ocean of vastness, then how do we communicate something about who we are?
As for the message they chose, Tim Ferriss says they could not have chosen anything better.
You can't say that an Indian raga or a piece by Bach or a Japanese shakuhachi piece, you can't say it means something that you can put into words. It is its own end product. It means really what it is, similar to things in nature. A flower isn't a way of expressing something else. It's the end product. It is what it is.
I'm Avi Arditi.
And that's As It Is for today. I'm Steve Ember. For the latest world news, listen to VOA at the top of the hour, Universal Time. Enjoy your day.
Words and Their Stories is next, followed by People in America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. Thank you.
now the VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. Throughout history, gold has been a sign of purity, beauty, and power. Calling something golden means it has great quality and value. For example, the Golden Rule is possibly the world's most widespread moral rule. It says people should treat others the way they themselves would like to be treated. Every major religion has its own version of this idea. The golden ratio is found in art, architecture, and nature. It describes a rectangle with a length about 1 1/2 times its width. Objects using this ratio in their design seem to please the eye more than others. Philosophers have their own golden idea. The golden mean says moderation in all things is the best way to live one's life. It is an idea linked to the ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle. Similar thoughts exist in Buddhism and Confucianism. Ancient Greek myths told of a time long ago when people lived in peace and happiness. Poets called it the Golden Age. A Golden Age now describes a historical period of great artistic, scientific, or economic progress. It can even recall a time of success and popularity for an industry. For example, the 1930s and 40s were called the Golden Age of Radio. You may have heard the proverb, "Silence is golden." This means silence is of great value. It is sometimes better to say nothing than to speak. You might say your child was good as gold when he behaved well at school. British writer Charles Dickens used this expression in 1843. He was describing the child Tiny Tim in the book A Christmas Carol. In 1937, American playwright Clifford Odets wrote a play called The Golden Boy. This expression describes a young man who has many good qualities and a bright future. You might tell someone you are golden when that person does something very well. Gold digger is another description, but this does not say something nice about a person. A gold digger is someone who seeks to marry a rich person because he or she is only interested in that person's money. Maybe you like old songs from the 1950s or 60s that are still well known and popular today. These are called golden oldies. In the 1980s and 90s, an American television comedy series told about four older women living in Miami, Florida. The Golden Girls often dealt with social issues in a funny way. Today, most older people look forward to reaching their golden years. This is when hard-working people can retire to a life of ease and fulfillment. This program was written by Mario Ritter. I'm Faith Lapidus. You can find more Words and Their Stories at our website, voaspecialenglish.com. This is Faith Lapidus.
And this is Steve Ember with People in America in VOA Special English. Today we tell about the life and music of American songwriter Cole Porter.
That was Begin the Begin, played by Artie Shaw's orchestra in 1938. It is one of almost 1,000 songs Cole Porter wrote. In his 73 years, more than 500 of those songs were published. Porter wrote most of his songs in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, yet they remain as fresh as when he wrote them. Cole Porter's songs are still being sung and played today. They are performed at musical theaters, jazz clubs, even rock and roll concerts. A movie about his life, called DeLovely, was released in 2004. Kevin Klein stars in the movie as Cole Porter. Ashley Judd plays his wife, Linda Porter. Popular young performers of today sing his songs in the movie. We will play some songs from that movie later in this program.
Cole Porter was born June 9, 1891, in the middle western state of Indiana. His family was wealthy and educated. His mother, Kate, guided him to music at an early age. He wrote his first song at the age of 10. As a young man, he was sent east to study at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. In his extra time, he continued to write songs. Two were for the university, the Yale Bulldog song and Bingo Eli Yale. They are still sung there today. After finishing his studies at Yale, Cole Porter went to Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to study law. That plan lasted only a year. At a party one night, he played some of his songs for the students and professors. The head of the law school spoke to him. "Why are you studying law?" he asked. "You are no good at it. Why don't you go to Harvard's music school and then write for the musical theater?" Later, Porter said, "That idea had never entered my head before."
At the time, musical theater was extremely popular in America. This is because there were few music records, and radio programs were still being developed. So songwriters had to work in the musical theater to be successful. Cole Porter wrote his first musical show in 1916. He was still a student at Harvard. The show was called See America First. It was produced in the Broadway theater area of New York City. The show was a complete failure. Porter wanted to leave town until people forgot it. So he went to Europe. He stayed there for most of the next 13 years.
During this time, Cole Porter became famous for his parties. His guests were wealthy, pleasure-loving people from all over Europe. They liked him because he was smart and funny, and knew how to enjoy life. And they loved his songs, which he played at his parties. Here Cole Porter sings his song, You're the Top.
You're the top. You're the Colosseum, you're the top. You're the Louvre Museum, you're a melody from a symphony by Strauss. You're a Bendel bonnet, a Shakespeare sonnet, you're Mickey Mouse. You're the Nile, you're the Tower of Pisa, you're the smile on the Mona Lisa. I'm a worthless check, a total wreck, a flop. But if, baby, I'm the bottom, you're the top.
In France, Cole Porter met the woman who became his wife. She was a beautiful and rich American named Linda Lee Thomas. They were married in 1919. The Porters gave parties that lasted for days. They had so much money, they could do anything they wanted. And they did. Their life together was a search for excitement, adventure, and pleasure. Still, Cole Porter remained a serious, hard-working songwriter. He wrote both the words and the music for his songs. The words and music always fit together perfectly. His songs were funny, sexy, and intelligent. They were playful, full of little jokes and hidden meanings. One of his earliest big hits is called Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love. It was written in 1928 for a show called Paris. Alanis Morissette sings the song in the movie about Cole Porter called De Lovely.
But that's why birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. In Spain, the best upper sets do it, Lithuanians, and let's do it, let's do it, let's fall in love. The Dutch in old Amsterdam do it, not to mention the Finns. Folks in Siam do it, think of Siamese twins. Some Argentines without means do it, people say in Boston even beans do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love.
Some of Porter's friends thought he might not be a success. One friend, Elsa Maxwell, told him, "You are too good. The humor and poetry of your words are far beyond the people." One day, however, she added, "you will bring the public up to your own level. Then the world will be yours."
Most of Cole Porter's songs are about love and desire. When they were written, they stretched the limits of what was socially acceptable. The words were often unexpected, sometimes even shocking. They spoke both directly and indirectly about sex, about drug use. Some songs he sang only for his friends. Critics consider Love for Sale to be one of Porter's finest songs. He wrote it in 1930 for a Broadway musical called The New Yorkers. For years, the song was banned on American radio. Here is a new version by Vivian Green.
Love for sale, appetizing young love for sale, love that's fresh and still unspoiled, love that's only lightly soiled, love for sale. Ooh.
Many of Porter's songs were written in a minor musical key. This gives them a feeling of sadness and longing. Yet they also can have a feeling of great excitement. American songwriter Alan J. Lerner said, "Only Cole Porter could really write passion." One example is Night and Day. It is considered perhaps the finest song Cole Porter ever wrote. It is about the kind of romantic love that is almost a form of insanity. Porter got the idea for the song while traveling in Morocco. He heard drums and a man singing a prayer. The song has a sound that beats endlessly over and over. It is like a lover who thinks of nothing but his love over and over, night and day. The song Night and Day was introduced in a 1932 Broadway musical comedy called The Gay Divorcee. The great dancer and singer Fred Astaire played the leading male character and sang the song. Night and Day became famous around the world, and Cole Porter was becoming one of the greatest songwriters America had ever produced. Today, there are many recordings of the song by different singers and musicians. Here is Night and Day from the movie about Cole Porter called DeLovely. John Barrowman and Kevin Kline sing it.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are. I think of you night and day.
Jay, try E flat.
Day and night, why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, silence of my lonely room, I think of you night and day.
On our program next week, we will tell more about Cole Porter's life and bring you more of his music. This program was written by Shelley Gullist. It was produced by Lawan Davis. Our studio engineer was John Ellison. This is Faith Lapidus.
And this is Steve Ember. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.